Let's look in our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And I want to preach to you this morning. Now, don't do it. Call 911. Now, don't do it right now, please. Don't do it right now. But I want to preach to you this morning about call 911. Call 911. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And verses 22 to 36. Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 to 36. You can remain seated, and we'll just read this passage of Scripture here together. Matthew 14, beginning there in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were deceased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Call 911. Let's pray together. Money, ask God to speak to your heart this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we can be in church, that we can meet together this morning. And that is a privilege. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Thank you for the government allowing us to be able to meet again. And Lord, I pray that we would do so safely and wisely. I pray that you'd give us faith over fear in the circumstances of today. Help us to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Help us to be looking for the second coming. And help us to be watching and praying and just living for you with our whole heart, please. Lord, as we go through times where there's still a lot of fear and a lot of unrest and a lot of maybe uncertainty in people's lives and in people's minds and hearts, I pray that they would trust you, Lord, that they'd have their hope in you and their confidence in you through these days and through the pandemic. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before the storm, we read here and we saw that Jesus was praying. In the midst of the storm, we see Jesus walking on water. After the storm, Jesus is helping and he's healing people. It seems to me like that is someone who truly knows how to bring peace and calm in the midst of trials and in the midst of tragedies and in the midst of the difficulties in our lives. Eric, would you shut the projector off, please? All of the uncertainties and all of the troubles in our world today, they can certainly remind us that Jesus Christ is coming back again. If we will be honest and we know the Scriptures, we can see that Jesus Christ, He is returning. Now, when we go through tragedies or when we go through trials in our life, what should we do? How should we handle it? What should we think? How should we respond? What should we do when trials or difficulties strike in our life? What should we do when dreams that we had or plans that we had all come crashing to the ground? What should we do when we're in the boat and the storm is raging and the waves are crashing and the water is coming over the side of the boat and it's filling up our boat and maybe we're afraid that our ship is going to sink? What should we do when the storms of life make things difficult, make us scared? Number one, have faith, not fear. Well, a few simple points, if you want to write them down this morning. Number one, have faith, not fear. Have faith, not fear. Verse number 26 says, and they cried out for fear. Verse 27 says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Jesus speaks to them in the midst of their fears and says, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid." Verse 30 says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." Verse 31 says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Can you turn this down, please? Turn the volume down. Did you press record on the thing? Okay, just turn this down. I'm not suggesting that we should not express normal emotions of concern and uncertainty. But I'm saying this, that fear is not the spiritual response to the storms of life that we're going through. Fear is not the spiritual response. Fear is not the response that God wants us to have. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. You know it. Many of you know it. God says this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God wants us to be able to have a sound mind through this storm and through this pandemic. Fear will not comfort anyone. Fear will only bring more anxiety. Fear will only bring more stress into our lives. And so I say, number one, have faith, not fear. We can't live in fear of the future. We can't live in fear about, well, what's next week going to bring, or what's next year going to bring. I know one thing. I know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And I know that I'm to live for Him. And that's all I can be concerned about. I don't know what's going to happen next year. But I know that Jesus is returning. That's a certainty. I need to live in faith and live for God. We can't live in fear of being paralyzed by the trials or the storms that come to our life. We must live in faith and live by faith, fearing God alone and keeping our faith in Him. We must not let fear reign during the time of crisis in our life. There are no answers in fear. Fear doesn't bring hope. Fear doesn't bring answers. Only faith will have the answer for us that we need. Jesus said this in Mark 11:22, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. Now what do we need to do? Call 911. Dial 911. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord in your crisis. Trust in Him. Call 911. Have faith, not fear. Look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 11. I'll maybe get there quicker than you because I've got most of these verses written out. But Genesis 9:1. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 11, the Bible says this, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." Do we believe God's promise? God promised that this is the only time I'm going to destroy the earth by the flood. Now, He's going to destroy the earth another time. We know that. And create a new heaven, new earth. But God's promise is sure. Can you count on God's promise? Or are we just going to live in a state of fear over what's happening now in our world? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen to me? In the first 9 verses of Genesis chapter 11, talks about the Tower of Babel. And sinful man is continuing to kind of do his own thing. But God's promise has held true, and it will to the very end, that God's final judgment will be different. Not a judgment of water, but it'll be a judgment of fire next time. And praise God, we who are saved, we're not going to be here for that. We who are born-again Christians, we're not going to be here for that. And so I just say this, number one, have faith, not fear. We need to trust in God. We need to have our confidence in God with what's going on in our world today. Don't live in a state of fear, but have faith in God. Trust God during these times. Number two, pray, don't panic. Pray, don't panic. You know, Jesus knew the storm that was taking place. Jesus knew the storm that would come on the Sea of Galilee that night. And He wasn't worried. He wasn't afraid. He had been just up in the mountain praying. Do you know that God is always aware of the storms that are going on in your life? We don't need to panic. We need to pray. We need to pray. When panic takes over, prayer ceases. When panic takes over, prayer ceases. When storms are raging in your life and you want to panic, you feel like panicking, pray instead. Call 911. Call upon the Lord. Pray, don't panic. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 11. Look at it. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 11. Nehemiah 9, 1:1. Nehemiah 9, verse 11 says, "And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters." You know what the natural man tends to do? He tends to panic. But what does the spiritual man do? Pray. Pray. God has it all under control. God has it all under control. You think about the children of Israel when they were fleeing from Egypt. They were being set free from bondage in Egypt. And they're going to come up to the Red Sea. And they start to get a little worried, some of them. They start to panic, looking at the Egyptian armies chasing them. But you know something? God had a plan throughout it all. God had it all under control. God was going to part the Red Sea for them and take them across. Now, what do we need to do? Pray, not panic. Pray, not panic. Look at Job 9:1:1. Job chapter 9, verse 11. Job 9:1:1. Job chapter 9, verse 11. It says, "Lo, he goeth by me not. He passeth on also. He passeth on also. But I perceive him not." You know, Job knew that God knew that Job was going through. But Job never lost his faith going through. But Job never lost his faith in God. But Job never lost his faith in God. Job did not panic here. Job prayed. Job prayed. Though there were times when Job's human spirit was crushed and brought low, he never stopped believing that God was there. Job said back in chapter 1 or 2, I think it is, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, in eternity, really don't matter. Values and material things really don't matter at all, do they? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Job didn't see God quite like he wanted to in some of the low times there of his life, but he still knew he was there. Hear what I'm saying? Job didn't quite see it all the time or feel it all the time, but he knew that God was there. "Lo, he goeth by me, but I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not." Look at Psalm 91 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty," "he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we're not going to read on in that chapter, but that chapter started being posted on the internet a lot during this pandemic. Why? Because it goes on and talks about the pestilence and so on. Listen, we can trust God in these times. We can have faith, not fear. We should pray, not panic. Know that you're safe. Know that God is in control. Know that God is there, even if you don't always see Him, you don't always feel Him. God's there, and God's in charge, and God's in control overall. You know, it's hard to see in the shadows sometimes, and it can be scary sometimes walking in the shadows. But maybe we need to realize whose shadow it is that we're under. Whose shadow is it that we're under? If you know the Lord, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:1:1. 2 Corinthians 9:11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. What should we do? Call 911. Call 911. 2 Corinthians 9:11. "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Being enriched by God. Being enriched by Him. And what does it do? It causes within us thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. Truly, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have it all. We have it all. We've got everything. We've got everything we need. We're rich. We're blessed. And we should be thankful in all the circumstances of our lives. Be thankful in spite of all of it. I say this, number one, have faith, not fear. Have faith, not fear. Number two, pray, don't panic. Pray, don't panic. Number three, believe God, don't blame Him. Believe God, don't blame Him. Some people will blame God for every difficulty, every trial, every storm, every adversity, every trial in their life. Some people will turn against Him, and that's not fair. That's not a fair way to treat God. You know, it's part of our nature to make ourselves feel better by assigning blame to somebody else. Some people blame God. Listen, when you have troubles, when you have storms, when you have trials, when you're going through a pandemic, what do you need to do? Believe God rather than blame Him. Believe God, don't blame Him. Dial 911. Call 911. Believe God, don't blame God. Look at Ecclesiastes 9:1. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 11. Ecclesiastes 9:1. The Bible says there, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. We live in a sin-cursed world, don't we? We live in a sin-cursed world. And we are sinners. We're the sinners who cursed it. Bad things happen. We sin by nature, yes, but we sin by choice. You know, all the troubles in the world that were caused by sin, well, it's man's fault. It's man's fault. We must deal with the consequences of our sinful world and not blame God. Not blame God. Thank God that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're one day going to be taken up out of this mess. You're going to be taken up out of this world where people don't know how to treat one another, and people don't always love one another like they should, and people are selfish, and people think they're better than other people, and so on. One day, thank God, we'll be taken up out of this world. Heaven is your eternal home if you know Christ as your Savior, if you've been saved, if you've been born again. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him as your personal Savior, then I invite you to come to Jesus Christ and believe on Him and receive Him into your life. You can have forgiveness of sins. You can have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Never to be erased. Never to be blotted out. Jesus doesn't write it in there in pencil that He's going to erase it one day. Hey, if your name's written down in heaven, praise God, it's secure and you're saved. You can be saved, forgiven, a child of God, and on your way to heaven. The Bible tells you how. Let somebody show you how. If you want to know how, let me show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. It was a man that brought God's judgment upon this world. Romans 5 and verse 12 says what? Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why do men die? Why do men die? Why do great catastrophic things happen? Why is it that, you know, these tragedies happen and thousands of people die in our world? Why do people die with AIDS? Why do people die from storms? Why do people die from pandemics? Why do people die from drought and famine and starvation? Because of man's sin and God's judgment upon sin in the world. Sin that brought death. Daniel chapter 9, 1:1. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 11. It's interesting what the Bible says here. Daniel 9:11. Yea, and all Israel have transgressed thy law. They've broken God's law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. May I remind you that our God is not just a God of wrath and judgment, although He is a God of wrath and judgment, but He is also a God of love and mercy and grace, and He's willing to save those that will turn to Him. We shouldn't blame God, because it's not God's fault. It's our own sin that brought judgment upon the world. It's our own sin that brings consequences. It's our own sin that brings death. Don't blame God. Instead, believe on God. Because to the person that will believe on God and then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved from their sin and they can be forgiven. They can be set free from the penalty of sin and the judgment and the consequences that would come for eternity. We shouldn't blame God, but believe on Him. Like the blind man believed on Him. John chapter 9, 1:1. John chapter 9, verse 11. There was a blind man that Jesus healed. And notice what the Bible says there in John 9, 1:1. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. We don't always know all the reasons why. We may not always have human understanding of every tragedy and every trial and understanding every sickness and understanding the why God allows certain things to happen in our world. We may not always understand all of that occurs in the world and in our life. But we know God is in charge. And we know that God is in control. And so we believe God. We trust God. We don't blame God. It's not fair to blame God. It's not right to blame God. We believe God, not blame Him. Not blame Him. When you experience a pandemic, when you go through troubles or trials or difficulties or storms or fearful times or uncertain times in your life, what should you do? Number one, have faith, not fear. Have faith, not fear. Number two, pray, don't panic. Pray, don't panic. Number three, believe God, don't blame Him. Believe God, don't blame Him. Number four, respond, don't run. Respond, don't run. Let every trial and storm in your life be an opportunity for you to learn a spiritual lesson. You know, many times we'll discover that God teaches us the most through the trials and difficult times that we go through in our life. Don't run from the trials. Respond to them. Learn from them. That's why I didn't want us to just run from the pandemic and can't wait to get back to normal. No, I want us to be responding to the pandemic, experiencing revival. Responding to what God is allowing and what God is maybe trying to do to work in each one of our hearts and lives, that we respond to what God's trying to do so we can experience revival in our lives. Respond. Respond. Don't run from it. In the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of trials that you go through, dial 911. Call 911. Matthew chapter 9, 1:1. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. The Bible says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? The Pharisees thought that some terrible tragedy was occurring. Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson about who they should be concerned about, who they should be loving, who they should be reaching. Jesus went to where the opportunities were. He went to those who recognized their need of Him. And this is the time for believers to reach out as well. Listen, this is a time where we've got to reach out. This is a time when, listen, people in the world around us, maybe they are fearful, maybe they are afraid, maybe they wonder what's going on in our world. Maybe it's caused them more to think about eternity and think about life and think about death. This is a chance for Christians to do something. Respond with love to people. Respond with giving the gospel to people. Respond with caring about some people that God cares about, that God would want to be saved. This is a time for believers to reach out with the gospel. You know, there are people to whom God wants us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People that we need to share the truth with. People that we need to... Well, other people maybe look and they... Some people probably in our world are angry or wondering, what's God doing? Or, you know, they wonder, is there a God? Or if there's a God, why would He do something like this? Well, you and I who know the truth, we should tell them that the trouble in our world is not because of God. It's because of sin. It's because of mankind. It's because of the choice that started back there in the Garden of Eden. The truth is, if you get to know my God like I know my God, He's a God who wants to deliver you. He's a God that wants to save you. He's a God that wants to take you to heaven. He wants to forgive your sins. Listen, this is a time to care about people. Are we experiencing revival in our hearts and lives? Are we responding to God through this pandemic? Is God teaching you anything? Is your love for God, is your love for the lost, is it growing? Are you just, you know, on the run from the trial, or on the run from the pandemic? Or are you responding to whatever it may be that God's trying to stir up within us as believers, as Christians, to wake us up to righteousness and to wake us up to the need of the world and the need of the lost that need Jesus Christ? Listen, I believe time is slipping away. I believe that Jesus is going to return. And what are we going to do in these last days to care about people? In a time of pandemic, when the unsaved maybe wonder about life and death, are you and I speaking to them about the good things that the Lord has done for them? We should. Because some people maybe wonder about God, or question if there's a God, or they get angry at God, or they want to blame God. You tell them that God is good. You let your lips praise God and speak of God and tell people the truth about what God really has done for us. Psalm chapter 9, 1:1. Psalm chapter 9, verse 11 says, "Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings." In the midst of trials, can your neighbors, can your co-workers, can your friends, do they see you still praising or trusting God or believing in your God? Will you still be saying that God is good in my life? God is good in our lives, despite the circumstances of our world. This is an opportunity to bring others to God and bring others to Jesus. In the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of trials, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of difficult days, what should you and I do? Call 911. Call on the Lord. Don't forsake the Lord during this time. Trust in the Lord. Call on the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Trust in Him through it all. What should we do? Number one, have faith, not fear. Have faith, not fear. Number two, pray, don't panic. Pray, don't panic. Number three, believe God, don't blame Him. Don't blame Him. Number four, respond, don't run. Respond, don't run. And here's the last one. Number five, be assured, not angry. Be assured, not angry. Not angry. Be assured that God always does the right thing. Be assured that God never makes a mistake. God never makes a mistake. I think there's a website. I think if I remember the web address correctly, it's godmakesnomistakes.com. This coming Friday night, there's going to be a video that gets shown on Facebook that kind of tells the story about a young lady named Heather Cape. And Heather Cape is probably, you know, in her 30s now, mid-30s at least. Maybe mid-30s, something like that. And ever since she was a little girl, she's had incredible problems. And she has had half of her brain taken out now. And she's quite a lady. Quite a lady. I'd encourage you to watch that. That just made me think of it because God makes no mistakes. Their family does a little chat every Thursday on Facebook. And I'd love for you to actually watch the video is called A Song in the Storm. Some people produced a video called A Song in the Storm to kind of talk about all that she's been through and how her life has been a medical miracle after medical miracle after medical miracle. And I think watching the video, watching the movie sometime might help you to actually read this little book that I want to give you soon. God makes no mistakes. You can either look at some of the trials that you're going through or some of the uncertainties you're experiencing. You can look at this pandemic in the world. You can look sometimes when you're in the middle of a storm and you're in your boat and you're fearful and afraid. And you can wonder about God, or you can want to get angry at God. Or you can be assured knowing that, you know what? God's in control. God's in control. Was Jesus ever worried there? No. He was up in the mountain praying. He tells the disciples to go into the boat. You know what? If Jesus tells you to get into the boat, I'd get into the boat. Because wherever Jesus tells you to go, that's always the safest place to be in the storm. And when they start to get a little bit afraid, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. "It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid." Isn't Jesus the one who's got power to calm the storms in our life? The one to bring peace in our life? Listen, be assured, not angry. Not angry. Our anger must be directed towards sin, never towards God. Righteous anger must be directed toward the prince of sin, prince of the power of the sin. God loves sinners, but He hates sin. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinners. If we ever get angry towards other people, we're wrong. When we get angry towards a brother or sister in Christ, or a brother or sister in your own home, or whoever, because of something that they've done, our anger is directed towards the wrong place. Anger should never be directed towards a person. It should be directed towards sin and the one who's the prince of darkness. Peter got in trouble when he looked at the storm. But when he looked at the Lord, he rose above the storm. Anger will only enhance confusion and misunderstanding. We need to focus upward in assurance, not outward in anger. Trust God. Trust God. Like Peter, when he started looking at the storm instead of looking at the Lord, we've got a problem that we tend to want to feel good. We need to rest in the fact that all is well, even when we don't feel it. You know, Job said, "I don't quite feel it, but I know He's there. I know He's there." You know, bad things will happen, but God is still good. God is good. Mephibosheth. Some of you know the story of Mephibosheth in the Bible. He was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan being the man who loved David and helped David and so on. Well, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, he was handicapped. He was lame. Physically, he had problems and he was a special needs young person. And our hearts care about somebody like that. But you know what King David did? King David took Mephibosheth and loved him and brought him into the king's palace and fed him at the king's table and took care of him. And he was blessed there because of that. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, where do you think? 9:1-1. 2 Samuel 9 and verse 11, it says, "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." You know what? I don't mind living hand to mouth as long as it's God's hand in my mouth. Hey, if you know that you're cared for by the King of Kings, don't worry about things. Don't become angry about things. We can trust the Lord in all things. He's going to take care of us. When difficult days come into our lives, what should we do? Call 911. Call upon the Lord. Be assured, not angry. Trust the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9, 1:1. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. God said in His Word, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." We can be assured the goodness of God in all things if we have the assurance of salvation. We can be assured that what God does in our life, He does it for our good and for His glory, right? What God does, He does it for our good. He's not out to hurt us. He's not out to destroy us. What God does, He does it for our good. For our good. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Thank God for the assurance that we can have in Him. Thank God for the eternal security that we can have in Christ Jesus. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret over our future. If we're saved, we know that Christ is preparing a place in heaven for us. I've got a mansion in heaven. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live with Jesus. Thank God in heaven there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sickness, no more dying, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no more trials, no more burdens, no more lost loved ones, Miss Lillian. Praise God that I can have peace in my heart, joy in my song, because heaven is my home. Heaven is my home for all eternity. And I can have assurance knowing that God is everything that He's allowing and everything that's going on. He knows. He's known all along. He's known before. Nothing took God by surprise. And I can be assured. I don't have to be angry because God's in control. God's in control. Trust Him. Maybe two or three times it's happened where I've thought to do this, where a telemarketer has called, you know, and they've wanted to sell a home security system. And I said, "Oh, it's okay. I've already got eternal security. and a home in heaven. And that kind of throws them for a loop a little bit. But you know what? Praise God. We can have assurance. If we're saved, we know that we've got eternal security. And we're well. We're good. Everything's okay. I've got that covered. I'm safe. Hey, what are we going to do in the time of crisis? What are we going to do in a time of pandemic? What are we going to do in a storm? What are we going to do when the water is overflowing the boat in your life? What are you going to do in a trial? Have faith, not fear. Pray, not panic. Believe God, not blame Him. Don't run from the problems. Respond. Respond. And then have assurance. Have assurance. Don't be angry. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. There's a song that says, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, 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 everything's okay. If you know the Lord, be assured, praise God, heaven's your home. One day He's going to take you up out of this world. So be assured, not angry. Respond, don't run. Believe God, don't blame Him. Pray, don't panic, and have faith, not fear. Not fear. Let's pray together.